Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening. Welcome back. We're so happy you are joining us on KMUN, our favorite local radio station. Thank you for supporting KMUN. You can also donate today, KMUN.org, or mail them a check, just like Mac likes to do.
You're glaring at me when you say that.
With a smile on
but
my face.
Yes, it is a muse. Am I here to perform for your amusement?
Yes. Mac's a check guy. He will not, if you can donate online, he is not the one that's ever going to take advantage of that button. Check.
You know, I'll do that occasionally because I'll buy stuff online too. I fully object though to like paying all my bills regularly and having it automatic. I want to trigger all of that. So that is my big objection. Because I'm old.
Well, we have someone that will take your check with us here today. Ooh. We have Kimberly Ward, the executive director of the Providence Seaside Foundation. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was slick.
That was pretty good.
We'll get it in a couple times.
Wow.
But yeah.
Right. So you know where else we took money?
Casino night.
Casino night.
Yes. I had some friends that were there. They loved it.
Were they in costume?
They were in costume.
Did they win best costume?
Oh, I don't know.
Because there's a good costume this year. Well, there's always good costumes. But
who won?
They were wearing a fox. I'm not usually a fur person, but the costume was pretty amazing.
They were wearing a fox.
Yeah. Around their shoulder.
Okay.
And then there was a couple that just saw it online and came as a lark that were staying at the Cannery Pier Hotel.
Oh, I love that.
They do business here. They were celebrating a birthday and an anniversary.
Oh.
They don't live here. But I was amused that you travel with a costume because they were both in costume. And we gave the guy one of the costume prizes. Yeah.
And what was their story? Had they looked ahead of time?
No, they just saw it online. Thought it'd be fun and came over, decided that afternoon or that morning.
And so they just happened to have a costume?
Isn't that amazing?
That is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They must have got shopping or something.
Maybe.
I love that.
The guy claimed that he'd used his suit earlier some other time to be Gomez.
Oh,
from
fun.
The Adams family.
Yes.
And then once he said that, I saw it.
Okay.
But prior to that, I didn't quite see it. Okay. But no, it was a good night. It was always fun. And always thank you to all of our sponsors. Too many to list, but Northwest Lending, I always like to point out since they were the presenting sponsor. And then Fultano is a story because he's been a sponsor since the beginning.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. Yes.
Yeah. So we always like to point those ones out. And then coming up, because one of the reasons we do Casino Night, it's in between temporary exhibits.
Ooh.
We take temporary exhibits down.
I didn't
know
that.
In the room at the Heritage Museum. And then the room's available. And then we put up the next temporary exhibits. It's going to be up for a year. And this one is about the column, the 100th anniversary of the Astoria column.
I'm so excited for this.
Learn all about it.
Yes. And what can you do with the column this month? You can write your Valentine, like I love you, right?
Well, that ended today.
Oh.
So
I've
got to remember what's March.
Oh my gosh. March just flew by.
I'm failing miserably. So I'm not sure what, I can't remember what we're doing in March.
But you march up those stairs.
We will. That's right. We'll announce that next week. We'll talk about that next week. But it's also the exhibit is going to open March 11th.
Oh, perfect.
So just next week.
I'm excited.
All right. But shall we get right to it? Because we got a great guest.
Yes.
These are the things that happened tomorrow, March 2nd, the history highlights. As always, icebreakers, things to talk about. March 2nd, 1807, Congress abolishes the African slave trade.
Oh,
so
that's a good one.
It's a start.
Yes.
They're just saying we can't go over to Africa and grab people and bring them here anymore.
Yes.
So it's a start.
Yes.
1836, Texas declares independence. 1836.
If only that had stuck.
Yeah. And then surprisingly, on the same day, March 2nd, 1861, Texas secedes from the Union.
Oh, my God.
Becoming the seventh state to do so.
And they thought they were going to be their own country?
In 1836, they were.
Okay.
They were an independent country.
There we go.
Yeah. But then 1861, they decided they don't want to be part of us anymore.
It was a little harder than they thought.
Yeah. 1904, Dr. Seuss is born.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. And do we remember what his name was?
Oh, I don't. Kimberly?
I don't.
I wish we were on Final Jeopardy right now. I'd be the only one that would win. Theodore Geisel. 1917, President Woodrow Wilson signs the Jones-Shafroth Act.
Hmm. What is
you're
that?
Wondering why we care. Thank you for asking. Alana was just shaking her head.
Yeah.
It grants U.S. citizenship to Puerto Ricans.
Oh, that's great.
Puerto Rico. Yes. It's part of the United States.
Yes.
They're citizens.
I feel like we should shout that from the rooftops for people that didn't get the memo.
Well, I'm very fascinated by why isn't Puerto Rico a state?
True.
You know,
but it's not just Puerto Rico. There's also Guam.
There's a whole bunch.
Samoas. Sure. Yeah.
But this one was specifically to Puerto Ricans, our citizenship. 1933, construction begins on Australia's Sydney Opera House.
Oh, so beautiful.
Never been.
Nope, me either.
Me either.
Okay. So
bucket list.
So we don't care.
It's on my
we'll
list.
Move on. Also on 1933, King Kong premieres at Radio City Music Hall. King Kong.
Yeah. It made a difference in the movie world, right?
I thought about making that the history highlight because of the impact.
It was a big deal. As terrible as it was.
Yep. 1946. Oh, see, I think it actually kind of holds up. Okay. I mean, it's cliched because we've seen it now over and over again a million times.
Yes.
Variations of it. But 1946, Ho Chi Minh is elected president of North Vietnam. I thought about making that one.
Yeah, that was a big one.
But there's two more. But the one I wrote a lot about in case we wanted to do any kind of a deeper dive. 1955, Claudette Colvin. Do we know the name?
No.
We should know the name.
Do you
want to know why we should know
I do want to learn about
name?
Claudette Colvin.
1955, Claudette Colvin, a full 9 months before Rosa Parks' famous act of civil disobedience, 15-year-old Claudette Colvin is arrested on this date in 1955 for refusing to give up her seat on a segregated Montgomery, Alabama bus.
Good for her.
15 years old.
Yeah.
She's with three of her friends.
Okay.
And they are all told to move for some white people to sit down and take their seats. And her three friends, also students, go ahead and move. And she refuses to. Mm. She says, I paid my ticket. I bought a seat on this bus. And of course, she gets arrested. Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of information here. Father bails her out. He's all worried that the Klan is going to come and like burn their house down. So he doesn't go to sleep that night. He's got a shotgun and sits on their front porch.
Yeah.
Was not the first instance of a black person in the South refusing to give up their seat on a bus to a white passenger, but it did come at a pivotal moment for the civil rights movement. And of course, then they start shopping for who's the best case.
Right.
And she actually, she gets arrested on three things. One is including not listening. Let's see. Charged with violating the segregation law, disorderly conduct, and assaulting a police officer.
15-year-old.
The former two charges were dropped, but the latter stayed on her record until it was expunged over six decades later in 2021.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But Claudette Colvin, way
Thank
to
you.
Go. But our history highlight of the day, 1799, Congress standardizes U.S. weights and measures. So had a big impact. Not really exciting or cool, but.
But it did.
Had a big impact.
And why didn't we choose the metric system?
I don't know. But
that's another deep dive.
Important for commerce and industry.
It is. Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, commerce and industry is so important because people that make money can donate money.
That's true. And we have somebody here that can talk about philanthropy and all the things.
How was that first?
Good friend, Kimberly Ward, the executive director of the Providence Seaside Foundation. Thanks for being here.
Thanks again for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. We had your son, Nathaniel Ward, on a couple months ago, and he was just fabulous. You can find him on our podcasts, I hope, and re-listen to those. But we want to talk about you.
Let's
talk pre-Nathaniel. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in California.
What part of California?
Well, I started... That's a good question. I moved around a lot as a child, but mostly my younger years were in Orange County. And then I spent my junior high and high school years in Central California in a town called Visalia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, why we've never heard of this town? How big is it? And where is it nearby?
It's near Fresno. So it's about an hour southeast of Fresno towards the Sierra Nevada Mountains.
Oh, okay.
Very agricultural area. going from Orange County to Central California was a big change.
I bet.
But it was great. We had orange trees and we had walnut trees, and it kind of started my love for, you know, gardening and agriculture and that kind of stuff.
I love that.
And what did your parents do that you moved and made this move?
Well, my parents were divorced, so it was really moving back and forth between parents. My mother was in Orange County and my father was in Central California. He was a stockbroker and my mother as a profession was a nurse.
Oh, and what were you thinking of doing at this time as you're growing up and going back from two very different households?
Actually, I wanted to be in broadcast journalism.
Have you
I don't think I ever told you that.
This is why you two are friends.
I know.
And you know, what's really funny is when I was in college in Stockton, California, before I came to Oregon, I took a communications class, which was my major in college. But I thought I wanted to be in broadcast journalism until I had to learn the whole radio component. And it really scared me. And just the whole thing was not what I wanted to go for.
So here you are today.
So what was scary about it?
It was just intimidating. I can't even explain it. This is a little intimidating for me as well. And just the thought of having my voice on radio and my face on television, it just wasn't.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Is television, was that as scary or intimidating?
Oh, yes. Okay. Definitely.
So in communications or journalism, could you pivot at all? And did you to, I could write, I could be a reporter of some kind, newspaper, magazines, that kind of thing.
I did. I actually, when I decided communications, it was more for me about actually international relations. That's really where I wanted to go towards. Not so much politics, but just not, you know, kind of in philanthropy and not-for-profit industry. But for a very short period of time, communications turned into elementary education. And I pivoted quickly and was working on a master's degree in elementary education. And then life changed. You know, I got married and had children. And then the nonprofit world came back around when my children were about 6 and 8. So, yeah.
And what was the first philanthropy organization that piqued your interest?
The American Cancer Society. Yeah. So I was with the American Cancer Society a little over 10 years in two phases. My position was actually eliminated during the economic crash of 2007, 2008. And then a couple of years later, they called me back and I was there until I started at Providence. So, yeah.
And was that, and if you don't want to answer, if it's too personal, that's okay. Was there a personal interest in this or was it just a great cause that you believed in?
You know, that's so funny, Mac. Every fundraiser is asked the question, you know, what makes you do what you do? And what you're never supposed to say is you sort of fell into it. But I have to tell you, this is kind of a funny story. That's exactly what happened to me. I was in between jobs and back in those days, you looked in the newspaper for jobs, right? So I was looking in the Oregonian and a friend of mine had suggested American Cancer Society because her husband had worked for them and she thought it would be a great fit for me. And I looked in the paper and I just happened to find two postings actually for the American Cancer Society. One was called a relationship manager and the other one was called a community relationship manager. And other than that title, the description was exactly the same. The other difference, there was one other difference. One of the jobs, there was a Tacoma phone number to call for more information, because that's still then, that's when you did that. Mm-hmm. And the other one was Portland. So the community relationship manager was Tacoma, and the relationship manager was Portland. And I didn't, you know, you would think that I would have called the Portland number, but that word community really resonated with me. And so I called the Tacoma number. And the woman that answered the phone was the executive assistant to the regional vice president for the whole kind of Western states. And I told her why I was calling. And she said, oh, well, you know, we just did a merge and we just picked up this little tiny area in the northwest part of Oregon along the Oregon coast. And I said, what are you talking about? And she said, the counties, Pacific County, which is in Washington, Clatsop County, Columbia County, and Tillamook County. And I just said, you've got to be kidding. I live in Clatsop County. And I'll just say the rest was history. So that was how I fell into philanthropy. And then Providence was really my calling. I was still with the American Cancer Society, and I was negotiating a contract for placing volunteers in cancer centers. And I was up in Anchorage, Alaska, and I was working on the new cancer center opening up there. And they gave me a tour, and I walked into this art therapy room, and there were northern lights on the ceiling, and there was a whole Iditarod portrait on the wall, and they started showing me all the different things that were funded by philanthropy. And I, right then and there, I said, if this is what Providence is doing for the patients, I want to be a part of it. And it took me a couple more years to get to work with Providence. It wasn't that easy. And of course, I live in Cotsop County, so I had to wait my and be patient, but it eventually happened. And here I am today.
And we started 2 months apart.
We did.
From one another.
2015.
Which one of you got hired first?
I did. Yeah. In the foundation. And in that 2 months, I negotiated my job out of the foundation because I didn't want to work for somebody that was brand new. That I didn't know.
You weren't sure if she was sticking around.
Right. And then it was Kimberly, who was just the most fabulous. And we shared an office. And people often do think that we worked together and that I even worked for her because we shared proximity and we're such close friends.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, back up a bit. How did you get from California to Clatsop County?
Well, my mother and my stepfather had a they had purchased a home, I think it was in about 1986, in Seaside, right on the prom, and they renovated it, and it was their intention to retire in Oregon. My stepfather had grown up going to Oregon, and his family had a cabin up at Mount Hood in Rhododendron, and he loved the Oregon coast. And so I came up a couple times to visit while they were renovating the home. And then in the winter, actually, it was 37 years ago this month, I was taking a semester off from school because I was in that transition of really not, you know, that communications, not really sure where I wanted to go. So I decided to spend 6 months up here. And my parents were traveling. And so I was, you know, staying in their home. And I met a boy. You know, classic story, right? He was from Cannon Beach. And I guess I could just say I never went back. So, yeah, so, that's how it happened.
being a young person from California that has seen very rural and
very
a much
populated.
Larger metropolitan area, what were your first impressions of Seaside?
I loved it. The rain was actually, my parents didn't last very long. My mother couldn't handle the winters. She was Southern California girl through and through. It didn't bother me. I think that year that I moved here, it was one of the rainiest years on record. It was like 110 inches from April to October or something. I mean, October to April, excuse me. But it didn't bother me. I loved the beauty. I got involved pretty quickly. I met Mary Blake from Sunset Parks and Recreation. And if you know Mary, you know how she can just sort of wrap her arms around you and bring you in.
So it was more her than meeting a boy.
Well,
we'll give her the credit.
That's true. Mary gave me a job. It was actually that the first year that they did the Where the Stars Play series, the concert series. And so that's where my kind of philanthropy work really started. I was going out and seeking sponsorships for that program. And I worked at the pool, but mostly I taught some dance classes, but mostly it was a lot of community building, which is what I do today.
Right? Yeah. Oh, I love that. I didn't know all these stories. So what are the things that, as your boys were growing up, that you then got plugged into at that point as your life was transitioning?
When they were younger, I was still traveling quite a bit with my job. So that was a little difficult, kind of navigating. I'm a single mom. I was married for 10 years. But when my boys were 3 and 1 is when I divorced. And so navigating, single parenthood, their dad was in the area and he was very, very involved. So that was nice. But mostly it was just working on raising my boys. And when they were in school, it was a lot of volunteering. I was very involved in my church in Cannon Beach, and also then sports, right? Two boys, they each played three sports, and they were very different, so they didn't play the same sports. I think the only team they were on together was football when David was a senior and Nathaniel was a sophomore. Yeah. And other than that, they chose to do very different things.
Just to make your life easier.
Just to make my life easier. And so, yeah, so I had great groups of friends that were really surrounded, kind of surrounding around our children and kind of what they did. And then as they got older and, moved out of the house and graduated from high school and went off and did their things, I would say that's really when I kind of started looking at what I wanted to be involved in. And so it was 2015 that I was, when I transitioned to Providence, I also joined Rotary. And that really kind of opened up a whole new world for me. That's another story for another time, how I got actually into Rotary. And it has to do with my dad and the current president, the president that was president that year. But I'll save that for another time. Mm-hmm. But that really changed a lot for me, just for community service and volunteering. And then I would say most recently, in the last 3 years, something that has really changed my life is when I joined the Dragon Boat team that's here in Astoria, so North Coast Paddling Club. I was good friends with both Sheila Rowley and Sandy Brown, and I know they've been on this show, and when they were starting the club, Sheila called me and said, "Are you interested in joining?" And I was like, "Yes." And
so, what was the appeal? Yeah. Was it the people that you knew were involved, or were you into rowing, into the boats already?
So,
what was the appeal?
We had gone. I had taken my sons to Hawaii that year. We went for Christmas. It was what, 3 years ago now, and we had a friend who lived on the Big Island, and she was involved with the Outrigger Canoeing Paddling Club. And so she invited us to join just for a day, just to check it out. It's a little bit different than dragon boating, but it was a blast. And we had so much fun. And then that I came back, and it was literally just about a week later, I got a call from Sheila. And I had no idea that, she was starting the club. And she had no idea that I had gone to Hawaii and just had a blast with Outrigger Canoeing. But she knew I was with Providence, and she was also looking for funding, and just one thing led to another, and she invited me. And so I had really no experience, but most of the people that started that first year didn't have any paddling experience. And so Sheila and Sandy taught us, and here we are getting ready to start season 3.
And you started with one boat.
We started with one boat, and then last year we added a second boat and a custom-built trailer. So we are able to store our boats here locally. And we start season 3 on Saturday, April 4th. And Mac, I have to tell you, I used to live in Cannon Beach. And last summer, I sold my house in Cannon Beach and bought a house here in Astoria. And one of the primary reasons, I'd say the top 3 reasons, was because of this team. It's just a phenomenal group of women.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I've heard that you're the best at it.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think so.
Well, they practice on the John Day.
We do.
She was doing quite a haul just to get to practice.
Yeah, it was 45 minutes one way from Cannon Beach to that. We meet at the Barbie Center parking lot. And so it was a lot. And so it just was a no-brainer for me to come to Astoria.
Nice.
And it's...
So I want to make sure we've got about 5 minutes left. I want to make sure you talk a little bit about the foundation and what you do there, what the foundation does, why it's important, and how people can find you and support it.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. So I've been with the foundation for going on 11 years, and our mission and vision is to... We inspire generosity to, bring people in to support the hospital. So we raise money exclusively for Providence Seaside Hospital. And we support, a variety of departments and programs and services. This year, we're focusing on our rehabilitation services department. We've committed to a 2-year, $500,000 project that will do a little remodel that supports also our outpatient clinic in Gearhart. And so Yeah, we support cancer and heart, and
I think one of the big ones is the emergency department.
That was a couple years ago. Yeah, 2018.
So a complete remodel, mm-hmm. addition of safety rooms. I mean, really, we went from sort of an antiquated emergency department with curtains in the rooms. Now every room, I want to say, has a glass door. Then there's also some private rooms, safety rooms.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the first capital campaign that Providence Seaside had done, that the foundation had done. You know, the foundation has only been around since the 80s. And so it took a while, you know, for them to kind of progress. And so in 2018, we took on it. And then it was the largest fundraising project we'd ever taken on. It was a $1.5 million project. And since then, we've done quite well. And but I'm very proud of that one. That was in 1 year, we managed to raise those funds. And the emergency department opened during COVID. So we didn't have a huge celebration, but we have a beautiful donor wall in the lobby. And since then, we've had another $1.5 million project to bring cardiac rehab and our prevention, early detection and prevention heart services here. We've had a hand in the remodel of the oncology clinic at Providence Seaside. Lots of equipment. I mean,
Well, in the remodel of the oncology, that's the suites where people go to get infusion. Mm-hmm. That entire area and space was remodeled. It's really nice.
Yeah, we actually created two kind of new infusion rooms that were remodeled to infusion rooms.
So people don't have to go to Portland. Yeah. And they also, when they're staying here, they're also getting the same quality and care. And
yeah, and that's really our focus, right, is to give our patients every possibility to get their care at home. Most people don't want to go to Portland. Certainly there are, you know, times that it's necessary, and we have phenomenal partnerships with, you know, our other Providence facilities, Providence St. Vincent and Providence Portland Medical Center. We can do just about everything, you know, that we can here, and that's really our focus.
So, how would somebody, because we got about a minute left, how would somebody find you, or how do they make a donation, or how do they support you?
Well, Mac, you can make a donation online, or www.providencefoundations.org, and then /seaside will get you right straight to our website. But, you know, we're right there in Seaside, and you can always mail a check in as well. So
you can do it, Mac. You can do it.
We can do it.
I do want to also point out, so Kimberly is the president of the Rotary Club of Seaside this year. And that is a great honor, and a lot of work went into that last year, this year, and then even next year as past president. So congratulations on that.
I love Rotary. Thanks.
But I heard you're letting like just anybody in, and that somebody that's about to join your club.
Yes, two people that are about to join our club.
Here.
That's right. Yes, Alana's and Beth's induction is the first week of April.
I love it. Thank you. And I do love you. You are a dear friend. I'm so glad that we met all those years ago and then got to work together and then got to become great friends, because you are valuable to this community, and thank you for the service that you're providing.
Well, thank you. And thank you again for having me.
All right. Thanks for listening. Go make some history, and we will catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.